Scripture reading for this morning is from Exodus chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. If you wish, you are invited to follow along in your Bibles. Exodus 6, 1 through 9. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. Indeed, by a mighty hand he will let them go. By a mighty hand he will drive them out of his land." God also spoke to Moses and said to him, "I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land in which they resided as aliens. I have also heard the groaning of the Israelites whom Egyptians are holding as slaves, and I have remembered my covenant. Say therefore to the Israelites, 'I am the Lord, and I will free you from the burdens of the Egyptians and deliver you from slavery to them. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. You shall know that I am the Lord your God who has freed you from the burden of the Egyptians. I will bring you into the land that I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I will give it to you for a possession. I am the Lord.'" Moses told this to the Israelites, but they would not listen to Moses because of their broken spirit and their cruel slavery. May God bless this reading of his holy word to us today. Amen. May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Recently, I was with a few folks, and we were talking about our first real jobs. Do you remember your first real job? Well, mine happened to be at Brown's Fried Chicken, Orland Park, Illinois. It was a kind of a fast food establishment, and they served up the Southern comfort style of food. And I remember how big of a deal, though, it was to get that first real paycheck. Now, I had earned money before. I mean, I was a girl, after all, in my teenage years, and that meant we found lucrative jobs babysitting. I earned all of 75 cents an hour babysitting. Maybe if the folks were generous, it was like $1 an hour. And then there were those really rich people that paid $2 an hour. We all wanted to compete for those babysitting jobs. That was quite a while ago. Things have changed. But, you know, getting that paycheck that had my name on it after pay to the order of, and it was signed by the manager of the fried chicken store, that meant the world to me. It was such an important thing, and I thought, wow, this is very, very cool. Still and all, that particular paycheck, it was hard won. Because you see, Brown's Fried Chicken was known for a certain thing. Not only did they make this crispy, thickly battered white meat chicken and dark meat chicken, they also sold deep fried chicken gizzards and liver. Can you imagine? It was so revolting to me. I swear it was. I mean, people would come to the takeout window and they'd say, okay, I'd like 2 half-pound orders of chicken gizzards and another half-pound order of chicken livers. I wondered if Brown's Fried Chicken was still in business, so I did the thing that you do anymore. I went online and I Googled it, and lo and behold, there are 20 locations in the Chicago area. So if you want your gizzards and you want your livers, you know where to go. You can thank me for that. Well, not only were the chicken gizzards and the livers kind of the unhappy part of the job, it was also that all that oily fried chicken smell got into my white uniform, and I would come home and drive my mother's car home, and the whole car would have that awful, terrible smell to it, I felt like, and I'd walk in the house and everybody knew where I had been. But again, my first real job, what did it mean to me and what did it mean to you? Think about it. For me, it meant a new level of freedom. It meant having a little more spending money, and so I could do more of the things that I wanted to do, and it meant new opportunity, and it meant new vistas and new horizons. And in my teen mind, that was as exciting as it got. So on the one hand, isn't freedom really about new opportunity, right? It's much more about new opportunity than it is about doing whatever one pleases and doing it whenever one pleases. I mean, think about it. And there's also this really person-specific level to freedom. Think a little with me about this take on freedom today. What does freedom mean, say, to the one who was once incarcerated and then set free and has a new feeling of what life is all about and a second chance, new opportunity? I've always loved the story about the guy who gets out of prison and then there's this young girl across the street. The man out of prison says, "I'm free, I'm free." And the girl says, "I'm four, I'm four." I think that's so cute. New opportunities abound when freedom means certain things, especially to the woman who, say, all of a sudden has the wherewithal to leave a violent home life, domestic violence, to not have to live with the terror and the fear day in and day out, and her desire to protect her children is paramount. Freedom from that means no longer living in fear. What does freedom mean to the single parent who all of a sudden is able to live in affordable housing, to have a real life for herself and her son, even though she can only work 2 minimum wage jobs? I mean, freedom there means just this new, wonderful sense of security. And what does freedom mean to the Orthodox Jewish woman who just longs to be able to pray at the Wailing Wall like the men, but isn't able to because of her gender? Freedom would mean the ability to pray, to hope. What about the veteran, right, whose leg got blown off in Afghanistan, who finally can leave the hospital after months of healing and rehab? Freedom means picking up the pieces of his life again and moving on in a new direction. What does freedom mean for citizens of a country that's just torn apart by civil war and violence and factions? It means the ability to live free from fear and in peace. and in harmony. When freedom is personal, it's all about new opportunity. The movement from what was once to what can be. Movement from the old to the new. So today, what I want to do is just invite you to think about freedom as moving from an old way to a new way. And this understanding of freedom, you have to realize, is actually the biblical witness. It truly is. And yet with one caveat, you know. The biblical witness is all about release from constraints. And it means freedom to have new opportunity, but that new opportunity has a very specific meaning. It's not just, you know, moving from just any old way of being to a new way of being, but it's the new way of being that God wills. Biblically speaking, freedom is always, 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 always the hard-won journey from darkness into ways of being within light, from what was once to what is, importantly, is to the glory of God. And this meaning within the whole idea of freedom, it's huge, because without having that meaning, the light of what can be can turn simply into a light shining on ourselves, our own desires, our own wants, our own particular needs, our own small, insular, protected world, which we are the center of. What good is that? So, of course, we learned today about the freedom story in Exodus and how it's so foundational, and it just takes shape in Egypt. And Moses leading his people out from under the hard, ruthless grip of Pharaoh. Exodus means way out, you know, road out. And then you have the prophets. They carry on this theme, the road out from allegiance to false gods to worshiping the only true God. And of course, Jesus comes along. And he's the great liberator. He's the great liberator, showing the way of freedom from darkness, darkness of self-righteousness and anger and greed and judgmentalism and all of those likely suspects, and brings a new way of being that speaks of life and light and love and compassion. He showed us how to live in the light of love. Darkness to light. No matter how you look at it. You know, the biblical perspective on freedom, it's exactly this. The hard-won journey from what enslaves to becoming who God wants us to be. And finally, having the freedom needed to be able to express love and compassion whenever and wherever it's most needed. And the freedom to support any and all structures that value the dignity and worth inherent in all human beings. And of course, there's cultural and political meanings to all of this. As Martin Luther King Jr. said, the church should be the headlights leading the way toward justice. The church should be the headlights leading the way toward justice. Father Martin Laird, he wrote this small but significant book called Into the Silent Land. And in the book, he writes a story of a dog owner, a pet owner, who has four dogs. And he would take these four dogs outside, and he noticed that three of the dogs would just bound ahead, and they would just love the wide open space and the sense of boundless freedom. They would love being able to be who they were created to be. But his fourth dog was far different. The fourth dog would just run in tight circles, round and round and round. And finally a man came up to him and said, "Well, why does this one run in circles while the others just, you know, are out enjoying the freedom that they have, and they run and they have all this energy and open space?" And the man replied, he said that this one had been kept in a cage for years. The memory of that cage remained with him. So for this dog to simply run meant to run in circles. Our God doesn't want the point of life for anyone to be simply running in circles, right? That's always and forever. Open ourselves up to the road that's ahead of us, that God puts forth in front of us, and may we find the wherewithal to help others find that road too. There's a wonderful quote from Nelson Mandela: "For to be free is not merely to cast off one's chains, but to live in a way that respects and enhances the freedom of others." Let me say that again. To be free is not merely to cast off one's chains, but to live in a way that respects and enhances the freedom of others. Tom and I recently were talking about the story of Peter Pan for some reason. I don't remember why. And remember how Tinkerbell, in the story of Peter Pan, was able to enlarge the lives of the lost boys and give them this wonderful free childhood? And remember the movie version of Peter Pan? If you can go back that far, Peter Pan was played by Mary Martin. And Tinkerbell, she drinks the poison that Captain Hook leaves for Peter to drink. And then there she is, you know, lying, dying on the stump. And Peter, he asks all of those watching to clap for Tinkerbell. Do you remember clapping for Tinkerbell? He said clapping would bring Tink back to life. Yes, you were free to decide whether or not to clap. And as children, my brother and I, we would clap so hard to bring Tink back to life. And I imagine most of those who saw that part of the show in their childhood would do the same. They would clap. Using our freedom in this way, albeit an imaginary way, I mean, that just felt amazing when we were little kids. So what happened? What happened? The kind of freedom that we need is one in which we clap. We clap for love and peace and patience and kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, the fruits of the Spirit. I think of the last time that Jesus sat at table with his disciples. Rather than being enslaved to all the feelings he had to have had about his impending death, he used his freedom to care for his disciples, to care for them in the present, and then to extend that care for them into the future. And he did so with even the one who was to betray him. So may we let go of the things that enslave us and hold us captive, but not just to let go of them, but to let go of them in order to use our freedom to enhance the lives of others, enabling them to live as God wants, to have life, and to have it abundantly. Thanks be to God for God's word to us this day. as we think about Independence Day this weekend and what it means. Amen. Let us pray. Oh God, help us truly understand the value of freedom in the way that you call us to understand it. Help us remember it's not all about rights and privileges and the freedom to do whatever we want, but it's all about leaving the old behind and embracing the new and the new opportunities that you set before us. Help us to be people that use our freedom to enhance the lives of others so that all may hear your call to them. This we ask in Christ's name. Amen.